Thank you, Dean, for asking me to teach and allowing me to. We're going to start in Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Tonight, some things about the heart. Believing occurs in the heart, and God cares about the heart. Romans chapter 10. I don't usually use my Bollinger, so I might take a little longer to get to places. Romans 10, verse 8. Says, but what saith it?
What's it say?
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of what? That's believing, right? Which we preach, this is what we're supposed to like tell people. That's preaching, right? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine what?
Heart,
that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Absolute tense. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. One definition for believing is an entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations. So the stuff he says and who he is. Does anybody know like Hebrews 11:6? For without, anybody? Faith, believing, it's impossible to what? To please God, because he that goes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, God's character and declarations, right? You believe who God is, and you believe that what he says is true. And it's an entire confidence in that. And our spiritual lives began with us believing in our hearts something. In this case, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, right? It starts with believing. Your whole thing with God starts with believing. That's how you got born again. That's how you became a son of God. That's how you got Holy Spirit and everything that you've got. And that's why you're here now, is because you believe God. You've already done that. This stuff we're talking about this week, believing. You've done it before, right? It's the start, it's the middle, it's the end, it's the whole thing. Believing is what we do. That is really, in a lot of ways, that's like all we bring to the table. God does the rest of it, right? We just have confidence that what he says is true, right? That he is who he is, and that he's gonna do what he said, right? We walk out on it. And that believing happens in the heart, right? The heart comes up here in verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. And this is how you get born again. This is foundational. This is the beginning, right? And it happens in the heart. Go to 1 Samuel 16. Look at a dude named David. 1 Samuel 16. Now, the heart in different cultures means different things. Like, you've got a piece of meat in your chest that pumps blood, right? That's not what we're talking about. This is kind of like a metaphor, right? It's a figure of speech. And, you know, in our culture, heart usually has to do with what? When you think of a heart, what do you think of? Like, there's a special shape we have that looks like this, right? Yeah, and you think of love, right? Most people, it's like, that's where love comes from. Yeah, okay. In the Bible, heart is used in a particular way, okay? And it's not maybe the way that we always use it when we talk about heart. In 1 Samuel 16, like people in the world, you know what I mean? Let's go to verse 6. It says, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now, what the heck's going on here? This is the prophet Samuel. He's got to anoint a new king, okay? And all he knows is that it's going to be the son of this guy named Jesse. Jesse has a bunch of sons, all right? So he doesn't know which one it is. And by the way, that's sometimes how it is with God. You just know this much. That's how he wants it. That's how it is. So all he knows is like, I got to be there. I got to meet this guy. I got to look at his sons. You know, I got to look at some sons. You ever just have to look at some sons? That's what so you understand. So in verse 7, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Okay, that's his face. So the first guy he sees, he goes, this is the guy. He goes, this is the guy. And God goes, no, don't look at his face or on the height of his stature, because I have what? Refused him. Ooh. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on what? God looks at the heart of a person. God is not at all interested in the outward appearances of things. And as God's kids, we shouldn't be interested in those things either. And the less interested you are in that, and the more you are interested in what's going on inside you and others, the more on God's wavelength you're going to be, okay? And so Samuel, who's a great man of God, even he got tripped up by this. He's an awesome dude. I love Samuel. I hope I get to meet him. And he messed up because this guy just looked, I'm sure he was tall and muscular, and he looked kingly, you know? And the guy who was king right now, he was the tallest guy in the kingdom, okay? I don't know if he was the buffest. He might have been the buffest. But he was definitely the tallest. And so you kind of got an expectation. You want to find the guy that looks like the king, right? And God goes, I don't care what he looks like, right? I don't care what he looks like. I care about his heart. The king of my people needs to have the right heart. If you go to verse 9, it says, verse 8. Jesse calls Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And God says, not that guy. Jesse made, so Shema, he goes, not this guy. Verse 10, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, these aren't the guys. These aren't the guys. 7 dudes. Right? You figured it'd have to be one of the 7 dudes. It was none of them. It was none of them. And Samuel says to Jesse, is this it? Is this all you got? Is this all you have? And he goes, no, there's the youngest. And he's keeping the sheep. And he goes, well, get him over here, because we're not eating until he comes, right? No dinner until you get this guy, all right? So he sends him, he brings him in, and he's ruddy. That means red. But he was this young, kind of like youthful looking. He probably had little rosy cheeks. You know what I mean? That's kind of the idea here. And he was with all of a beautiful countenance. So he was a pretty boy. He was like, you know who I think of now? Can you think of? I think of like Timothy Chalamet. Did you see those Dune movies? He's a little unconvincing as like a strong leader, I think, personally. Because he's this skinny kind of French-looking guy, I don't know. And like all the other guys in that movie, there's like, who's Jason Momoa is in that movie, right? He's like 8 feet tall, right? And his biceps like bigger than my head, right? But it was this young guy, this young kind of like good-looking dude, okay, and goodly to look to. And the Lord says, arise and anoint him, for this is what? This is the guy. Samuel takes the horn of oil, anoints him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Pretty cool. God looks on the heart. The heart is it's the seat of the intellect, okay? In this culture, a lot of what they thought of as like where the emotions came from was more your guts, like here. You know when you read bowels in the Bible and you're like, why is it talking about bowels? It's because they thought of that as more like that's where strong emotions came from. Or if you read the word reins, that means kidneys, okay? But it was like this midsection is where they thought of like strong emotions coming from. And the heart was more like your mind. It was the seat of your mind. It was where intentions come from. It's where decisions are made. It's where understanding, knowledge, and insight come from. That's the heart in God's word. And when God talks about the heart, that's really mostly what he's talking about. And what he says here is that that's what he looks at. What are the intentions of this person? What's their understanding? What's their purpose? You know? And then it's also where courage and spirit come from too. Go to Deuteronomy 8. That's what God cares about, okay? He doesn't really care that much about feelings a lot of times. Like, he cares if you are sad, of course. He cares if you're upset, if you're angry, okay? But that's not the measure of a man or a woman of God, okay? The heart is the measure of a man or a woman of God. And that's where believing happens. Deuteronomy 8. Verse 2 says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these, what? 40 years. That record that Jesse read last night, I don't know if, I think he talked a little bit about it. Do you know what happened after that? After the grapes and then saying these guys are giants and we're grasshoppers and we're scared? They had to walk around for 40 years in the wilderness. They couldn't go in to the promised land. Do you know why? It wasn't because God was punishing them. They didn't believe. It says here, he led them these 40 years in the wilderness to humble them and to prove them to know what was in their heart, whether they would keep his commandments or what? Or not. If they had gone in unbelief, do you know what would have happened? Dead. Those guys would have whooped them. All those guys they were scared of would have taken them out. And guess what? There goes the Christ line. There goes God's promise to Abraham, right? All of these plans fall apart because they didn't believe. So what did he have to do? He had to walk them around for 40 years until there was a group of people that was ready to trust God. Because that's what matters. That's all that matters. Do you trust God or not? Do you believe God or not? The rest of it, life's great. Then it's not great. Do you believe God? That's what he's looking at in your life. That's what he cares about. That's what he's interested in. Go to Matthew 6. You know, it's not that God needed to know if they would believe. They needed to know that they would believe. You know? You find out if you really believe or not when you're put to the test. You know? When the chips are down. We can all talk a big talk. But believing in your heart means you act accordingly. You know, heart isn't, we talk about people's hearts and stuff like that. It's like, it's not how nice God thinks you are, you know? If we say someone has a good heart, and sometimes we just mean that they're nice, right? And that's good. It's good to be nice. Be nice. But what God cares about is, do you believe him? You know, when he said, are they going to keep my commandments or not in that verse, that word means to keep or to watch or to guard. And it also means to retain, all right, or to reserve it. Are you going to watch my word in your heart? Are you paying attention to my word in your heart? Is that what you look at, you know? Is that what's in there? Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So that might be a little funny to us, but you know, clothes were really valuable. Certain clothes were really valuable to these people, right? And so that's where the moth and rust. Do you ever get moth-eaten clothes? Do you ever get holes in your clothes from moths? I have. You have like a nice sweater that you like, and then you get all these holes in it. And it's like, if that's what you care about, right, it can get destroyed easily. It's some clothes, right? God says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, Jesus Christ talking, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. And so this treasures, this is like a figure of speech that they would use, and it means your thoughts, okay? Do you treasure your thoughts? Are they valuable to you? Or are they just like, I have some, you know? And I throw them out and I put them on and like whatever. That's not good. where your thoughts are, that's where your heart ends up. What you think about, what I think about, what I dwell on, that's what ends up in here. All right? That's what ends up in here. And that's what affects your believing. That's what decides whether or not you're going to trust God. What you think about. That's it. There's no magic formula, okay? It's down to, like, what do you think about? Where are your thoughts? And are you laying them up? Are they valuable to you? Is God's word valuable to you? Do you have a storehouse in your heart where you keep God's word and where nobody's allowed in? If you do, you will believe God when it comes time. When you're at the promised land, you'll walk in. But if what you think about is how big those guys are, how strong those guys are, right? and how weak I am, you're missing it. Because none of that's in God's word. You think about how strong God is, how big God is, right? The Holy Spirit I have. If I think about that, if those are my thoughts, the more I think about that, the more space that takes up in my heart, and now I trust God. And now I walk out on God's word with believing, and it what? It comes to pass. Because I'm trusting God. That's what I bring to the table. God does the rest of it. He does all the hard stuff. You know, Romans 10, 17, we've heard, I think, a couple times this week. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And that hearing is like the thing heard. It's like, what do you give ear to? You know, if you like what if you're listening to podcasts every day, okay, and you're thinking about what they say and considering it, guess where that ends up? In your heart. All right? We read social media, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to pick, wherever you get your information from, what you think about, what you dwell on, what you entertain, that's what ends up in your heart. And we want to treasure our heart. Go to Mark 8. We want our thoughts to be godly thoughts. And you've got a whole book of godly thoughts in your lap right now, or in your phone. I don't know what you're using. Go to Mark 8, 14. It says, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without or outside a man that entering in can defile him, but the things that come out of him, these are they which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear.
And where are we?
Am I in the right place? I'm in the wrong place. I'm reading from Mark 7. Thank you, guys. Mark 8, I told you not to listen to me. Mark 8, 14. It is a good one. I think we're getting to that later, actually. Okay, that's why I kept reading. All right, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. Okay, they have one loaf of bread. All right, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. All right, and this is something he had been teaching them about, like, don't listen to these guys' doctrine, okay, what they teach. And they reasoned among themselves, and they were like, it's because we have no bread, like Jesus wants sandwiches, right? And we can't make Jesus' sandwiches. And when Jesus knew it, he says unto them, why reason ye that I want a sandwich, you know? Because you have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand, have you your heart yet what?
Hardened.
What's up with your hearts, dudes? I'm not talking about sandwiches. I'm not talking about sandwiches. He talked to them about this before, but they're freaked out, like, Jesus needs bread. Jesus needs bread. We don't have any bread. He says, don't you perceive? Don't you understand? This word understand is cool. It's some of you may know this, like the Greek words like tsunami or tsunesis. And it's this word like to put things together in your mind, okay? It's knowledge that's acquired by reflection and consideration. And he's like, aren't you thinking? Aren't you putting anything together? And then he asks them here, having eyes, verse 18, don't you see? And having ears, don't you what? Hear? And then here's an interesting question. Don't you remember? And he's going to bring something to their remembrance here. That's pretty crazy. You ready? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they go, 12, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we remember now, right? And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets of fragments took you up? And they go, 7. You know that happened twice, right? You guys know these miracles, right? They're pretty famous. Even unbelievers know these miracles, right? Just 2 times, they had seen that happen 2 times. You understand? Twice, thousands of people fed with just a tiny amount of food, right? And he goes, how do you not understand in verse 21? And that's that same word. How are you not putting this together, right? You think I'm freaking out about sandwiches, dudes? Right? God will make sandwiches if we need sandwiches, right? That's not what we're supposed to be. But that's what was in their heart, right? But he said, don't you understand? And it's because their hearts were hard, okay? And a hard heart is one that doesn't let the word in. You know, and he's asking them to use their eyes and ears, but not like to feel, okay? but to think about what they see, think about what they hear, and think about stuff that happened to them. Miracles that they saw, they didn't consider what it meant. And so guess what happened? Gone. They forgot about the 5,000 getting fed, guys. And they saw it happen. You think you might forget if you don't dwell on God's word? Think about the stuff that's happening to you this weekend. If you don't think about it, dwell on it, let God work it in your heart, it will be gone. Just like these guys, right? We're not superheroes. It's simple, right? God's word is simple, but you got to do this part. This part is important. Take care of your heart. Mind your heart, you know? Go to Proverbs 4. They saw these amazing things, and it didn't make it in there. It didn't make it in there, you know? Thinking about what you're thinking about is an important skill. And it's tough at your guys' age especially, because your brains are going a mile a minute. I know, I was there, you know? Whatever, we're not getting into health class here. Your bodies are changing, some of you, right? But it's real. There's like crazy stuff going on, and it's like it can be hard to focus. But the more you train yourself to do that, and especially if you do it now, by the way, and you get into the habit now, you cultivate something wonderful with God in your heart, and that's where believing comes from. What did I say? Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes, and keep them in the midst of thine what?
Heart.
For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You know, God's word can heal you just thinking about it. It's happened to me. It's that powerful. It's that important, you know? And it says in verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, and that keep is to guard or to look after. And issue is to go forth, you know, like something's issuing out of something else, right? It's that flow out, and it's the stuff of life comes out of your heart. Now, the quality of your life comes from what you believe, right? And the things that we deal with a lot of times, they're issuing out of our heart. And it's why you need to watch it. That's that keep. It's like to guard it. You know, if you're a guard, do you just pay attention? You make sure the guy doesn't get out, right? But what else do you need to make sure? No one else goes in, right? You're paying attention to who goes in and who goes out. And we need to do that with our thoughts. We have to do that with our thoughts. One thing Joe Armstrong said before is that your mind is not a thought gourmet. I always thought that was funny. You're not as picky as you think you are, and neither am I, right? About what you think about. You have to decide to be picky about what you really spend time thinking about, because it matters. Because if you spend enough time on it, it's going to work its way in here. And if it's not God's word, if it's some other doctrine, you know, it's going to result in fear and unbelief. Proverbs 28. Verse 26. It says, he that trusts in his own heart is emotionally intelligent.
No.
An empath. People still use that garbaggio. You're a what?
A fool.
You're an idiot. Sorry, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. You are not supposed to unquestioningly trust your heart. You are supposed to be discriminating about what's in your heart and find out, is it God's word or is it something else? And if it's something else, you need to do something about it. And that means you need to change your thoughts. You need to dwell on God's word. You need to put the truth in there instead, the opposite of whatever it is that you think. But if you just trust blindly in your own heart, all right, or your gut, you're a fool, and it's going to lead you astray. You are not supposed to follow your heart. You're not. It's off God's word. It's devilish advice. You do not follow your heart. You follow God's word. You follow God. You follow your Holy Spirit, that God reveals something to you by revelation. You don't follow your heart. Unless what's coming out of your heart, unless what's issuing out of your heart is what?
The word.
The word. That's it. Proverbs 23. I didn't write the book. Doesn't matter how you feel. At all. I feel the wrong way about stuff all the time. And so do you. What matters is what's true. Proverbs 23, verse 12 says, apply thine heart unto what? Instruction. And thine ears to the words of knowledge. That apply thine heart, it means it cause it to come to instruction. You cause your heart to come to instruction, to learn. You need to make your heart learn. If you are sitting here listening to me and you don't care, there's nothing I can do for you. And there's very little that God can do for you. All right? You need to make your heart come to God's word. He's given it, right? It's here. Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again. God has come to you already. You need to come to the word. And you do it here. And eventually it gets here. And that's what your life looks like. In verse 19 of Proverbs 23, it says pretty explicitly here, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and do what?
Guide
your heart. You guide your heart. You don't let anybody else do that, and you don't let your heart guide what?
You.
That's cart before the horse, folks. You guide your heart. You tell your heart what to think, what to do. And then you'll have a good heart, according to God. That's what God thinks a good heart is. A heart that's been told God's word and that accepts God's word and that follows God's word. 1 Corinthians. And we could spend all night on stuff like that. There's a lot in God's word about not trusting your heart. It will deceive you. It will lead you astray because we still have an old man nature, okay? And you get tricked. I get tricked, right? And our emotions get in the way and they trick us into thinking things that aren't true sometimes. We got to go back to the word. We got to change our thinking. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, so not many smarty pantses, not many strong guys, and not many like rich and famous guys, that's noble, are called. But God's chosen the what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and he's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base, that's the low things of the world, and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that what? God's not interested in what people think is cool. God's not interested in what people think is like really powerful and stuff like that, because God's a lot more powerful than what people think is powerful, isn't he? I mean, that no flesh should glory in his presence, it says in 29, right? He's not impressed with, I don't know, our haircuts, right? And he's not impressed with, like, how well we do in school. He's not impressed with my promotion, right? What's he impressed with? What does he really care about? Do I believe? My heart, do you believe? Do you trust him? That is all, that's what he cares about. And so people that care about that stuff don't tend to believe God because they're so focused on looks and appearances and what's valued among men, among the world, among your peers, right? Instead of what God values. But verse 30 says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and what? So maybe according to people, you're not strong or noble, right? or good looking or whatever, but to God, Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The Christ in you is all that and way more. Way more. According as is written, verse 31, he that glory, if you're going to brag, brag about who? God. Go to Jeremiah 9. It's after Psalms, after Proverbs, after Isaiah, which is pretty long. And then Jeremiah 9. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory, if you're going to brag, brag about this, that he understandeth and knoweth who? Me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I, what? What delights God? A heart that believes him. A heart that trusts in him. None of that other stuff means diddly squat to God. It doesn't matter. Do you trust him? Do you have a heart of believing and love? You know? A good heart is a heart that believes God. A tender heart is a heart that will let God's word in. And it's not nice or well-meaning necessarily, right? It's just, do you trust him? You know, we've all got that person that's like, oh, they're so great, if only they'd believe God's word. If they don't believe God's word, how great can they really be? It'd be great if everybody believed God's word. But then isn't there that other person that like you're kind of like looking at them cross-eyed and what? Speak the word to that person. Because they're more likely to believe than that person that we all think is so great. A lot of times the people that are so great, they think they're so great too, and they don't necessarily think they need God. One thing I was like thinking about doing, we're not going to tonight, but like there's tons of records in God's word of like complete pieces of you-know-what doing miracles. I mean, just like absolute screw-ups doing miracles. And the reason that an absolute screw-up can do a miracle, there's only one, and it's that they believed God. Because that's, again, this is the only thing that matters. God says, if you're going to brag, brag that you know me. If you're going to brag, brag that you believe me, that you know that I'm God, that I execute righteousness, that I do right stuff, right? That I get it done. That's what we need to brag about. And that's what needs to be in our hearts. You know, God's not a respecter of persons, it says in God's word, right? Do you know what that means? He's not looking at like your stature and like who you are and your status and all of that stuff. And he doesn't play favorites with anybody. You know, he only cares about and respects believing. And if that's you either do or you don't, you know. Have you guys, you know that verse where it says, like, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, right? And so that's a yoke right there. That's, you put two cows in that, and that's a yoke right there. You put two cows in that, and they pull, right? And, like, you're plowing fields, and they're pulling. Well, if one of the cows wants to go this way and one wants to go that way, what's going to happen? You're going to have a mess on your hands, right? But who's it say not to be unequally yoked with? Not mean people, right? Not stupid people. Not short people. What does it say? People that don't believe God. That's all he cares about. At the end of the day, that's what matters. Does this person believe God? Do I believe God? What's in my heart? What's in this person's heart? That's what God's looking at. That's what we need to look at. Luke 16. You know, if you're speaking the word to somebody and they just don't care and they don't want to hear it, and that, move on. God's word says that too. Maybe they'll come around, but they should see your heart. They should see believing in action in your life. And if that doesn't convince them and the word doesn't convince them, they're not going to be convinced. It's like those guys that saw that miracle, you know? Luke 16, if they don't dwell on it, if they don't consider it, if they don't think about it, it's not going to make it in there. Verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and what? Despise the other. You're always going to favor one over the other, okay? You got two bosses, you like one better. You got two bosses and they both tell you to do something, you have to do one thing what? First, don't you? You can't do both. You got to do one thing first, and you're going to do the thing first that from the guy that you favor, the gal that you favor that told you to do it, right? You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. That's the things of the world. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, that means they liked those fine clothing and things like that, okay? They heard this and they derided him. They were mad that he said this. They were mad that he said, you can't love the things of the world and God equally. Isn't that crazy? And he said to them, you are they which justify yourselves before what? That was their heart. They cared about what people thought. They wanted people to think that they were smart, cool, the top of the top, right? But God knows your what, does he say? God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is disgusting to God. That's an abomination. What people really think is great, God thinks is disgusting. He hates it. He can't stand it. He can't stand it. Because that's the adversary stuff, right? That's the stuff he puts out there. Tricks us and gets us to think about all the time and really get into and try to, I'm really going to develop myself in this area. Developing your heart in God's word? Well, that's what's going to end up in there. You want to develop yourself in this other area? That's what's going to end up in your heart. That's going to take over. You can't serve both masters. Look, you can have your hobbies, you can have your fun, and you're you. That's who you're supposed to be. But you're supposed to be the you that believes God, right? No one else is going to be like you. No one else is going to be where you are. Nobody else is going to handle things the way you do or say it the way that you do, right? I'm weird, it's fine. But you got to trust God. You got to put him first. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to look at David again for a little bit. You know, when I go to fellowships, I'm bad at taking notes. And I don't really look at them afterward. And if you do, God bless. I think that's great. I really do. And I wish I was like that. And maybe someday I will be, God willing. But I just write the one thing down that I think I can do. The thing that's like for me in that fellowship. I usually have like one or two things in there, and that I will look at. And that one thing I'll actually think about, and guess where it'll end up? In my heart, right? 1 Samuel 17. Verse 16. So you know this. Goliath's out there, right? It's two armies, there's a battle, Israel and the Philistines. And Goliath's out there, and he's basically like, if anyone can beat me, you win, right? Battle's over. Anyone can beat me, you win, right? And Goliath's this huge guy, right? And so he's going out there every day and taunting them, all right? And everybody is afraid of this dude because he's enormous. 1 Samuel 17, 16 says, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself what? It's 40 days of this guy coming out and talking you to what to them and everybody being like, I don't know what to do, right? Who's going to fight this guy? I don't know. And Jesse said to David his son, take now thy brethren an ephah, I don't know what that is, of parched corn, some amount of parched corn, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to your brothers, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and look how your brethren are, and take their pledge. I want a letter or something, just let me know they're okay. All right, so David's going out to do that. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with the keeper, and he took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and he shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. So it's like a dramatic scene he's coming out to, right? They're sitting there like, who's going to punch first, right? And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and he spake according to the same words. And David, what?
Heard him.
This guy was talking smack about them for over a month, every day, and he heard it. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, what? They ran away. So he must have been pretty scary. I mean, I don't know. These are warriors, you know? But they ran, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this guy? Right? I don't know how you'd miss him. We didn't read the description, but he's like 9 feet tall, right? Or like 7 or 9 feet tall. I don't know how you'd miss him. Have you seen this guy? Surely to defy Israel he's come up, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. He'll get all this stuff, okay? And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what's going to be done to the man that kills this Philistine and takes away this, what, reproach, this insult, right? Who's going to deal with this guy that's insulting God's people? That's his question. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of who? The living God. So this was his attitude. Who's this guy? He didn't care that he was 9 feet tall. He didn't care that his spear was like a weaver's beam, whatever that means, like all this stuff, right? He's just like, who is this Jamoke, right? Who does he think he is? Because compared to God, he's what? Puny. Nobody. He's a nobody. He's an unbeliever. He's somebody that doesn't believe God or trust God. And in fact, he's somebody that's insulting God's people. So who does he think he is? And the people answered in verse 27 after this manner, saying, so shall they be done. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Classic older brother stuff, right? How many older brothers do we have in here? I bet David was annoying, you know? So he's mad. And he goes, why camest thou down thither, or hither and thither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness, right? Classic older brother stuff. Are you even doing your job? Does dad know you're here, right? Who's got the sheep? I'm in battle, right? I'm scared and in battle. I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart. You've come down, like, you just want to see, right? That's what he thinks. You just want to see what's going on. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? He's like, no, I think I'm here for a reason. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him the same way. And when words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. So this is the king, Saul. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. I'll go fight this guy. Right? You guys don't have to be afraid. I'll fight him. By the way, David is late teens, early 20s, like a lot of you at this time. And Saul says to David, you can't do that, right? You can't fight this guy. You're a kid, and he's been killing people since he was a kid, right? That's the senses version. That's what was in Saul's heart, and that's what was in all these guys' hearts. Let's see what's in David's heart. David said unto Saul, let me tell you a story. Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. I rescued the lamb from his mouth. All right? And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and what? Killed this lion. I killed a lion. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living, what? And David said moreover, and this is the important part, he could just be like, actually, I am a badass because I killed a lion and a bear, right? You're wrong. I'm capable because I killed these animals. What does he say? David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the what?
Bear.
He remembered. He thought about it, guys. That happened to him, and he didn't let it just slip by. He thought about what that meant, that God delivered him in this situation. He was thankful, but he thought about what that meant, that relationship he had with God and what God can do for somebody. And it stuck with him. And that allowed him to do what he's about to do here because he believed God. But he believed God because of what he thought that ended up in his heart because of something that God did for him. Those guys saw 5,000 and 7,000 fed with the loaves and fishes, and it just flew out of their brains because, I don't know, they were worried about their girlfriends or they were worried about the sandwiches, obviously. We know that, right? But this, that, or the other thing came and stole that from their brains. David had this in his heart, and he said, I can do this because God's already done this for me. And this guy, he's just like a lion or a bear. No big deal for God. And Saul says, go ahead. Right? Go ahead. He convinced him. Go to verse 45. This is cool. David says to the Philistine, you came to me with a sword and with a spear. You know, he's talking to Goliath now. With a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's the God of armies. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in what? God's going to get the glory here, and that's important too. Again, it wasn't about him. It wasn't about how he looked. It wasn't about looking cool to Saul or his brothers or these armies, or anybody. It was that people could see what God can do with somebody that believes. That's what he wanted everybody to see. And this is all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our what? Your toast, dude. And it came to pass, the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no what? He didn't even have a sword in his hand. Because it was God. All he needed to do was believe God. And that's all you need to do. And that's all that matters. That's all that God cares about. Doesn't matter if you're young, old, good looking, okay looking like me. I'm okay. I'm losing it. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Do you trust God? Matthew 12. You know, and I don't know that he looked that different from when Samuel saw him and was like, this can't be, you know, it's like, this can't be him. And I'm sure people, and Saul was like, you can't do this. And it wasn't about him. It wasn't about what he can do. It's not about what you can do or what I can do. It's what God can do with someone that believes. Matthew 12, verse 33 says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his what?
Fruit.
How do you know if it's an orange tree?
Does
it have oranges on it? How do you know if it's a fig tree, I guess, in this culture? Does it have figs on it? Right? Trees produce fruit. This kind of tree makes this. This kind of tree makes this. Orange trees don't make figs. Fig trees don't make oranges. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good what? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we want to know what's in our heart, what do we talk about? Because that's the fruit of what's in your heart. What do you talk about? What did David talk about? God. What God can do. What did Saul talk about? What David was capable of doing. The physical stuff. The senses stuff. What do we talk about? What do you talk about with your friends? What do you talk to yourself about? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what's in there. Pay attention to what you talk about, Pay attention to what you say to yourself, what you say to others. That's going to tell you what's really going on in here. And if it's off the word, do something about it. Change it. It's simple. It may take a little time if it's real deep in there, but you can do it. God will help you. Put the word on. Have a heart of believing. Go to... Yeah. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Oh, I forgot to finish this. Keep going. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So it's oranges or figs, right? What kind of tree you got here? Take care of it. Cultivate something good, you know? Trees need water. They need sunlight. They need food. Acts 13. I don't know. Did I say that? No, 2 Timothy 2 is what I said, and that's what I meant. Don't worry. Don't worry. We're almost done. 2 Timothy 2. It's taking me forever. Verse 13. It's talking about Jesus Christ, but it's true of the word and it's true of God. It says, if we believe not, if we don't believe, yet he abides what?
Faithful.
And he can't deny himself. God's word is just true. We bring ourselves to the level of the word. You're just getting on God's wavelength when you believe. That's what you're doing. God's going to stay the same. God's word's going to stay the same. It's always going to be there, and God's always going to be there for you and for me, even if I don't believe, okay? When I do, when I guide my heart back to the word, it's still going to be the same, and it's still going to work. David made plenty of mistakes, but God called him a man after his own heart. Isn't that cool? He didn't really say that about anybody else that I know. Because David, even when he made mistakes, he brought his heart back to God's word. He changed his heart so that what was inside was what God said. That's all you got to do. Mark 12. Second to last verse. There's another thing we need to do with our heart. Another really important thing. Verse 30. Mark 12, 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy, what?
Heart.
All thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. That's the first commandment. That's the most important thing. Your heart is where you love God. Go to 1 John 5 to close. Your heart is where you love God. Ready? Ready for the big finish? Ready for the twist ending? You can't wait. 1 John 5. Verse 3, some of you knew it was coming. For this is the love of God, that we keep his, what?
Commandments.
And his commandments aren't grievous. They ain't that hard. You want to love God, you do it in your heart. And that is our primary job on earth. But we love God by what? Keeping his word. That's how you love God. You trust him. You believe what he says. You believe who he is. And you do what it takes to cultivate something wonderful in your heart, according to God's word. That's what fruit will bear in your life. That's what you're going to see come to pass in your life. What you believe in here. So pay attention to what you think about. Pay attention to what you say. Pay attention to what you tell yourself. Guide your heart to God's word. Tell yourself God's word. Meditate. That was Martine, right? Tell yourself God's word. That's Psalm 1. And you're going to believe God. You will believe God. The end. The end.